It's the Ag Watcher Show. It's the Ag Watcher Show. It's the Ag Watcher Show.
Hello, I'm Pip Courtney. I'm the host of Landline, and I've worked on the show for 30 years, and I'm here with the Ag Watchers podcast. Over to you, gents.
30 years, and you finally made it. Made it to the big time.
You must have started recording when you were 15 years old, Pip.
Thank you, Matt. Nicely done.
Smooth.
You just notice that's someone that's got three sisters in his family. So that's how you do it, gents. That's how you do it.
Thank you.
A lesson for us all.
Yes.
One of the things that before we get into this podcast is complaints and criticisms.
Yep.
And compliments. We have to cover those things off at the start because we do get a lot of complaints and the occasional compliments. But we did get a comment. I got a comment, a text message on Sunday morning from Michael Gooden.
Oh, yeah.
To say that he's copying us because he realized he was wearing a merino polo shirt whilst having black pudding for breakfast and he was thinking about getting some Crocs. So
He was a bit fairly heavily bearded as well in that social media tweet, I thought.
And he had a dodgy mustache as well.
Yeah, so there you go. We had another compliment. During the week, I was at that Jester Farmer screening in Ballarat, the gala red carpet in Ballarat, and Sean McDougall came up to just thank us for a lot of the promotional stuff we've been doing on that. It's a fantastic movie, Pip, if you haven't seen it, or anyone else that's listening, Jester Farmer. It's in the cinemas right now, so it's well worth a visit.
I've seen a lot on Facebook, a lot of promos, and, yeah, I think it looks fantastic. I can't wait.
So we'll get into the proper part of the podcast now that we've done all the navel gazing. We have to run the sixth sense, Pip, just because you're a famous celebrity. It doesn't mean you get away with it. We are going to run six statements towards you. You give us the first thing that comes to mind. We'll then run the answers through our AI-generated machine learning algorithm to determine whether you're okay.
Okay.
We'll pass the results on to Ida, but it's not Ida anymore, is it?
No, we've got a new person.
We'll pass it on to someone at ABC if there's any need for any changes. Matt will keep the count as always.
I will keep tally because we're very bad at keeping.
That's your AI tech, is it? That pencil.
That's it.
I suspected as much.
I always use pencils, Pip, because you can rub out the evidence afterwards.
We also use pencils for a more manual version as part of our ground truthing to make sure the AI is correct.
That's it. Ground truthing.
People think this is all made up, but there is method to everything we do.
And heavily scripted.
Heavily scripted. So I liked that bit about the pencil. That's a good part of the script.
Mm-hmm.
So Matt, you first.
Rural city divide.
Problematic.
Black pudding.
Vomit.
What did you say? Want to vomit?
Vomit.
Oh dear. Okay. Gosh. All right. What about Crocs footwear?
Love and loathe.
The audience of Landline.
Love them. Love, love, love.
About ABC Rural Reporting.
The best. No, I'm not. I can't stick to one word.
No, you can give us.
Oh, it's the best gig in the world. Best gig in journalism.
It's me. This is the last one, isn't it? Better make a contract. Facebook and social media. And the impact on journalism.
I know my dad's up there going, what are you going to say? Be profound. Disturbing.
There we go.
I reckon out of this is what are we up to 200 and something episodes, Andrew, you know the numbers. I don't think we've ever had a guest that's been so thoughtful of the responses. You can see Pip was really thinking before they, you know, it wasn't just to blurt out the immediate one. It was that's very good. Conscious, deliberate.
Matt,
I'd like to have a job on Monday.
You got to remember, Matt, we're not doing
I had all my answers lined up. It was just going to be cats, horses, cowboys, Brad Pitt.
I wanted to try and weave in, and I noticed you're not wearing a famous hat, but I was trying to weave in something around the hat because it's a little, is it just one hat prop or you got multiples of the same hat when you're doing the presenting? Yep.
I always have two. I have the pastoralist and the cattleman's. Mm-hmm. And it started because it was a very windy day and we'd been there for a few hours and we did not have one intro in the can. And I said to the boys, I'm going to whack the Akubra on. And they said, well, you can't because it's been banned. And I said, well.
I am.
I said, well, I mean, the trees were bending in the background. So I said, any manager who gives me a pull through for wearing a hat, well, we've got visual evidence that there is no way that my hair's not going to go like this all day. So let's get the job done. We've been here for hours. Got to pull through.
But for what do they call it in the game, consistency, or what's the thing when you're recording all the time? Have you got multiples of the same looking one, or is it an actual?
No. The one that I usually wear, it's been lost and been sent back in the internal mail. It's been squished on planes. It's been run over. It's been crapped on by birds. And so it's getting to that stage where a replacement is needed. But I don't like the new ones. I've got a really old one. And I've worn that a few times.
You might get a swag of complaints like when Coca-Cola changed the recipe or VB, Victoria Bitter changed the recipe and then they get all these complaints. You might have the same thing. All these people will call in and say, that's not the same hat.
Might be able to auction off a charity.
Oh, that's a good idea.
There you go. Yep. I have been up in Far North Queensland when a beef producer said, you can't come here with that little sheepy, shitty hat of yours. He came over and he said, put this on. It was one of the ones with the taco sides and very tall, and it didn't suit me. So I like my little sheepy cat. Well, it's called the cattleman's, but, yeah, he said that's what sheep producers wear.
I think I've got a leisure time Akubra.
So right.
That's very city.
But we do get phone calls around Christmas time with blokes ringing in and asking, and sometimes they're even shopping at the time, what's the name of Pip's hat? I've got to get one for my wife for Christmas. And one of the ladies who works here, she said, it's an Akubra. And he's like, yeah, I know that, but which one? She said, an Akubra, A-K-U. Dear Kerry, who swans around here in the highest of heels, didn't know that there's about
multiple different types.
Here's a fact for you. Yeah? No, it's not a fact. Well, it's a fact. They only got to size 61 Akubras. And so I've got a 61 and it's still too tight. So I need to get it. But next time I buy one, I need to get a 62, which is custom because my head's too big.
Wow, so you're a freak.
So mine's only fits when I've got the side of my head shaved or I've got short hair.
Well, you have to. Can you order a custom build one for people with fat heads?
Yeah, I think you can. So I've got the 100th percentile in terms of head. Still in proportion. So.
Well, I met Malcolm Turnbull in Canberra once and he's looking at me, he's going, I know you, you're the lady in the hat. And, a lot of people, if I've got that hat on, they recognise me, but I wear glasses and I normally have curly, crazy hair, so I could rob banks. But once I take the glasses off and put the hat on, I can't rob any banks.
In disguise.
So Landline, you've been doing Landline for 30 years?
Yes.
So what was your background for you? Straight-up journalism or did you come from the farm or...?
So my dad was a journalist and a lot of relatives were on the land. So I grew up madly riding horses and visiting family farms. But my dad, he couldn't change a light bulb. So we were in the burbs. And I studied politics at university because I wanted to be the next Michelle Grattan. Had one. Then I got a cadetship at the ABC in Radio News in Hobart. In 1986, had one day covering Parliament and hated it, absolutely hated it. Came back and said to the boss, I never want to do that again. So to teach me a lesson, he put me on courts and I loved it. It's like Shakespeare. It was so compelling. I found it absolutely fascinating. Human beings are so fascinating, and what drives them. And then I switched to the TV after a couple of years in radio. Didn't really like radio news. Wasn't very good with technology, and used to look at the cameramen and reporters and crews coming back from jobs. And a lot of radio was done in a studio and phoning people. I wanted to be out and
Want to
about.
see something?
They come back or muddy or sunburnt or. Yeah, so when I switched to TV, it was like, oh, now this is, it's got everything because my dad was a newspaper man. Like we had sound, we had pictures, and we worked as a team. And I loved that collaboration. And then, like a lot of Tasmanians, after about 7 or 8 years in Tassie, I worked in Launceston, Burnie, Hobart. I applied. I really wanted to get out of Tassie, get over that bit of water and
Just
prove
like
myself.
most people in Tassie seem to want to.
Yeah,
That's
yeah.
no, it's become more popular now. So that's why the housing crisis is there, because all these people moved to Tassie through COVID and after
Not in the
COVID.
mid-80s, it was the Greece of
No.
Australia. It was like our main export was young
People.
people. And so I took the job on Landline in Canberra, chucked my horse in the float, cat in the cage, and I was out of there.
That was my brother-in-law is from Tasmania originally. He's over here working in medicine. And when we moved to Ballarat about a decade ago or so from city Melbourne, or urban Melbourne to a degree, and we'd looked at a few places around regional Vic, and Tassie was another option to immigrate there. And he came and said to me, "If you go to Tassie, your kids will either, if they don't work in hospitality or tourism or agriculture, they're going to be back on the mainland again." So we decided not to go to Tassie, as lovely as it is.
Yeah, sometimes my mum would say, oh, it was really sad at Mahjong today. Nearly everybody at the table, all their kids are on the mainland, which means after a certain amount of time, all their grandkids are on the mainland. So,
Well, just think about people in Ireland. That's the biggest export from Ireland's people. Because
yeah,
no,
and
that's fair.
my retirement plan was live on the mainland, sell my house for a mozza, go back to Tassie, where houses
Not
were cheap
anymore.
as.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Still, you don't know what house price is going to do in 30 years' time from now when you're ready to retire.
Yeah, that's true.
So, see? See, Matt, I could do
That's
as
just
well.
yeah,
You
no,
know,
you
just
John Kadelka on Twitter, he's like, Tasmania, don't come here. And like a lot of Tasmanians are like, please stay away.
it's also
Yeah.
got Fingley as well. It's got a AFL team now.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well,
What's
yeah, just
it
called, Matt?
the
Tassie
Devils.
Devils. Is it?
Tassie Devils,
I was
mate. Yeah.
surprised you kept up with that because you're not a footy.
No, I'm not a footy fan, but I do keep an eye on what's going on, just so you can sometimes, pretend to be, one of them, if you have to, you can just kind of join in the conversation occasionally.
I
So,
love AFL. I just love AFL.
yeah. So Pip, you've been doing Landline for 30 years, yeah?
Yes.
How many stories do you think you've done? Hundreds, thousands of stories.
Well, in the early days, I would have been churning out 25, 30 a year.
Jeez.
So I've cut back now with hosting duties and, yeah, so 30 times 20.
Yeah.
It would have changed quite a bit, the actual landline kind of format too, and possibly, I guess, the audience, because like we have seen, there's a few times recently in social media, there's been a couple of grumble bums that have said, "Oh, landline," and I'm talking agricultural, rural grumble bums.
Yes.
They say, "Landline, you might have heard this or seen it. Landline doesn't represent the farmers, and there's not enough farming, proper farming stories, and all this kind of criticism."
Too many
It,
alpacas.
it, like, what has been the kind of progressive change you've seen through that time? And actually, like, what is the target audience for Landline? Is it just for farming communities and rural people, or is it meant to be also trying to engage the city folk?
It's a look, when we first started, the only content we had was from the reporters on Landline. And there were only 4 or 5 of us. So there we when we first started, we had book reviews. We had I remember Kerry Lonergan doing one on calf rearing for beginners. Some of those book reviews could go 6 or 7 minutes. We were had a country and western film clip at the end because we had to fill that hour and there were not many not many staff and not a very big budget. And stories back then, we covered issues like youth suicide in the bush, sport in the bush, politics in the bush, all sorts of issues. So it's never been Ag 101 with pictures. It's always tried to tell rural people's stories so that they find it interesting. But also, not everybody who lives in rural regional Australia is a farmer. There's people who live in quarter acre blocks in Ballarat, Geelong, Orange. And to show city people where their food and fibre comes from and what they drink, where it comes from. So it's trying to service farmers, people who live in rural, regional, remote Australia who aren't in agriculture, but might be connected with it in some way or not at all. Might work at the Harvey Norman in Albury. Hopefully we're telling stories about life in rural Australia, but it's never been. And if you go back to the, well, I was there, I think, for the second or third year the program was on air, we're covering all sorts of stories. So some of those grumble bumps, whenever I, because I love this show with a passion. So when people say it's changed or they don't like it, and some of the people say, oh, I don't like it, haven't watched it for 5 years, yet they've made a criticism, and you think, well, could you watch it first? I'll look back and I'll go, well, hang on, we've had the mix of stories has been hard ag and maybe some niche industries, a story on ostriches or a story on alpacas. But for me, those stories are still relevant because some of those industries, niche industries, 20 years later are big ones. And they're of interest
It's also just
to a lot of
part.
people.
It's sort of just part of the fabric of rural Australia, all the differences.
Yeah, and we try. We're always trying to be contemporary, broad, and interesting. But if you want to learn about agriculture, in a deep way, go to uni or buy some books. But our job is not to be Ag 101 with pictures.
It's to tell interesting
Is
stories.
yeah, and it's human stories. Yeah.
That's what I was just going to get to. With that in mind, human stories, is Heather, you're cutting your lunch a little bit with Backroads?
No, I think she's telling stories about communities and lots of different people and giving you a flavour for this one little spot. No, there's plenty of room.
But it shows how popular, because I think that's quite a popular show on ABC Backroads, and it's now, I think it's in its
Absolutely.
fourth or fifth season, but you've got that plus Landline. It's clearly the stories you guys are covering, it's not just that got an interest in the agricultural or regional or rural space. The city people, I know because a lot of my family lives in the city, and a lot of them watch Landline, and they've never been, or and Backroads for that matter, but they've never been.
They're just watching it, waiting for the one day that we might be on it. Just hoping, just waiting and hoping, saying, I wonder if today's the day, this Sunday.
Matt Brown occasionally uses this. I think, there might be
Yeah.
limits, Andrew, on how often you can,
There'll be a whole segment on amateur podcasters,
Or,
or analysts.
Scottish background backpacker immigrants that have come to Australia, to work in
Maybe
agriculture.
one day, one day.
I think the show's evolving. Like we have access to regional based reporters now who have cameras, which we didn't have access to them 5 years ago because most, I think there's 46 regional bureau and only half a dozen of them had cameras, but now they've all got cameras and all the staff have been trained up. So we're getting access to stories from those reporters, which means we can sort of run four shorter stories rather than three long ones. So yeah, look, and I think it's evolving and changing. And if we're doing stories on rural aged care or transport issues or childcare, like those issues are important to people doing the actual farming as well.
100%.
We
You
don't, we're not here
mentioned
to teach people how to farm.
at the outset when we did the Sixth Sense, I asked about that rural city divide, and I think you said problematic was the phrase you arrived upon. Did you want to give it? Do you want to give us a bit more of a kind of flesh that out a little bit and tell us what you think about that concept? Does it exist, do you think, or is it just a little bit of a kind of imaginary thing that people think exists.
Well, a colleague who I respect and admire enormously says it doesn't exist. And I think it does, because I live in the city and I always have, capital cities, smaller cities. And the understanding that people have about agriculture, I think every generation, it just so many fewer people understand. And I grew up with aunts, uncles, grandparents on farms. So farms were just part of my life. But when I say work with a camera crew who will say, why do dairy farmers work 7 days a week? And a dairy farmer says, oh, when a famous commercial TV personality rocked up to their dairy farm and said, so you do this once every 6 weeks, do you, in the milking shed? And she was flabbergasted. And then he asked if, do you give them injections to make them milk? And she's like, doesn't everybody know? And
it is, because it is fascinating. Like you sort of, there's an assumption that, like you say, with dairy, they can't be doing it every day. It's a bit like that when people
twice a day.
Yeah, people assume that grain farmers are working more than 12 weeks of the year, and yes. So that sort of, just those differences, and even across the agricultural supply chain, is that people
and
don't understand it.
A teacher told me once that when she asked her grade six kids where they thought milk came from, a little boy put his hand up and said seals.
Seals.
And she was like, "Wow, that's a new one." She couldn't work it out, and she said, why? And he said, oh, well, on the milk carton it says seals sealed with freshness.
Ah, there
so,
you go.
Yeah.
Some logic behind that.
So I think every generation, there are fewer people living in rural Australia. We've got more immigrants coming in who don't have any relatives out there. And I suppose the issue is problematic. That word popped out because, say you look at the cane industry in Queensland,
yeah,
and politicians in city areas might demonise them for certain practices. But if you're in the industry, you know that those practices were ditched 30 years ago, but there are not enough city people have enough connections to cane country to know that those pollies were really over-egging the pudding, like seriously. But that lack of understanding can play out politically in ways that really impact people in the bush. And I think when you walk down the supermarket aisle, if you have a better understanding of the good standards we have compared to, say, some overseas produce that might be coming in, or you understand what keeping money circulating through rural communities means, then you might have that by Australian reflex action in the supermarket. So I think being misunderstood is bad politically for the people that I do stories on. But then I don't like it when it gets pushed to right to the edge by rural people who say city people should know about every single thing about how their
but
is produced. It's like,
do city folk know how a tractor's made in a factory, or how wheat's turned into bread? I don't know. I don't know. My old man's a builder. I don't know anything about building.
No.
So you don't need to know everything about everything. Do you
I don't
think
know who made my car. I just know when you give me the key and I hand over the money that we have a contract that it works. And I've never thought for 2 seconds about who makes my car. And so for farmers to say you should understand how the food's made, or how it's grown, how it's produced, what pressures we're under, I just think that's a bit of a one-way street. And what about city people have their own pressures, and
that's
farmers?
That's what I was going to ask, Pip. You're like me. You're from the city, or you live in a city, but you spend a lot of time with rural people.
Yes.
Do you one of the things I hear a lot on social media is that life is hard on the land and life is easy in a city. What do you think about that statement?
I think it's very easy to disprove, and it's broad, and a lot of generalizations don't stand up when you examine them. And I meet a lot of very successful farmers where life's pretty cruisy, thanks very much. They're asset rich. Their grandpa or dad paid off the debt a long time ago. All the kids are at private school, and there's enough Toyota Land Cruisers parked out the
Wow.
front, that life's not too tough.
I thought there was a waiting list of 3 years. Now they can't buy a Land Cruiser every second year like James Stacey does, Andrew.
No, that's true. That's
Yeah.
true.
So
Some
it's
people
not,
got
I just
not
think
because they
everybody
haven't
needs to
tried.
just, yeah, calm the farm a little bit sometimes. Thank a farmer for your meal and some of that stuff, I think, got a bit
Cringy.
overheated and it didn't bear scrutiny too much.
I mean, because living in the city, like if you like, I'm in Canberra, but I was in Melbourne on, when was that? Tuesday, Wednesday, Matt? When was it?
Yeah, early in the week. Yep.
And
Tuesday,
like,
Wednesday.
but you're trying to get around. You try and move 2 kilometers, but that takes you 35 minutes. You know, you try and get a coffee, and it's a queue. You know, you go to a bar, and you've got to pay $14 for a beer or whatever it is. Like, it's not easy living in the city, I don't think. And
No, you chose,
it's not like
we've
people in the
all
city are making a
chosen,
fortune.
yeah, we've all chosen to live where we are. And I do think, rural people, when all the planets line up and you've had a great season and great prices, the payoff can be enormous. And I'm a city person, I like being paid every second fortnight because my risk profile is zero. I can't handle owing lots of money.
You get paid.
I get paid, yeah.
Jeez.
So
We're in the wrong area, Matt. I
I
know.
look at a lot of farmers, I go, I just can't believe you are prepared to live with such great risk, and that if you maybe there's a bad year, you might not get a grain check or you're going to get half of a wool check. So I admire farmers enormously. But if you choose to do a job,
It's your choice.
yeah, it's your choice. Yeah.
No, that's true.
Matt, were you
I
going
thought
to
you
say
were going
something?
to, yeah, I
No.
was, but I thought you were, so I was giving you a chance to
I
answer the
was
question.
actually holding a sneeze, but
Oh, okay. I saw
so.
you open your mouth there for a second, so I thought a question was coming out. I wanted to switch tack a little bit and put you a little bit more on the spot again, just briefly, after The Sixth Sense, right? Because coming from Tassie originally, you would, and I imagine, being a southern base, you've probably heard of the Melbourne, that Moomba festival we do, where we have a king and queen of Moomba. And I was just hoping, if I gave you a list of a handful of ABC reporters that were male and female, you could pick a 2024 king and queen of ABC
Okay.
reporting. So I'll give you, it's obviously not an exhaustive list. I'm just first three I'm going to give you on the male side, and you tell me which one's the king for 2024. Warwick Long, Matt Brann, or Clint Jasper.
Oh, that's not fair. I love them all equally.
Well, you could just, it's just for the 2024 king of
Just
ABC.
2024. Well, I love Warwick. And he always asked me about my cat. So sorry,
Okay,
Matt.
so Warwick,
Warwick's the king. Yeah.
so
He
that's
always used to ask me about Sheriff Walt Longmire, my cat. Yeah.
so you're okay, so then the queen to go with Warwick Long as the king of 2024, as voted by Pip Courtney. I've got Kath Sullivan, Belinda Barisetti, or Heather Hewitt.
Kath Sullivan. She's
Oh,
one of
there
the
you go.
funniest people I know. And I think those two, well, just to organise a dinner party with those two at either end of a very long table, I will be there. She could have her own comedy show. She's funny as a fip in great company.
She's no, that's true. Oh, there you
And the
go.
others I love equally too. I've had some good fun with all of them. But yeah, when Kath walked into the landline office the other day, because we're based in Brisbane, everybody went, "Yay, Kath's here!" I don't think we got much work done. Don't tell Ida.
So the king and queen of ABC reporting in 2024, Warwick Long and Kath Sullivan. Congratulations.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Andrew will fit some kind of applause track to this, I'm sure.
I don't know how to, but I'll send some certificates out in the mail. Similar to when Clint Jasper did win an award.
He's won the Ag Watchers Award 3 times in a row each year. So, you know, Clint's had plenty of awards that he's won from us. So he
He's
can't be
won
too.
21, 22, and 23.
Yeah,
I think they're up in his
correct.
office, actually. I'm told they're up in his office.
I've
Where?
got, I've got the award. That's it.
Oh, on the weekly
I've still
times,
got
I
the
love that.
award. Yeah.
And when Woz fills in for Macca over the summer, he rings me and asks, for me to nominate a track, and I'm allergic to country and western music.
Oh, I
But
hate
he's
country and
let
Western
me
music.
choose Akka Dakka, and he's played it, Thunderstruck. So
No, country music.
he pleased us.
I know a lot of people on this listen to the podcast probably like country music. It's dire.
I've had the bypass. Yeah,
It's
sorry.
just terrible. The other thing, media. The media has changed, yeah. So in the 30 years, the internet probably wasn't really around 30 years ago, was it?
When I started on landline, no. Like when I started as a cadet, that's 1980, 1986.
No, it wasn't. So I remember it would have been
1986. So
early 90s.
when
Early 90s was when it started to come in terms of the internet and stuff, but it was very,
I wasn't, it
very
wasn't
early.
mainstream until late 90s, was it?
No, Netscape, I think, was the first browser. Because I remember my first year of university, the two things they said to me was, here's this thing called an email account. You're going to use this to correspond. And I thought, this will never take off. And the other one was, they said, oh, here's this thing called the internet. And you had to get on Netscape to do some browsing. And there's about all of about five sites or something ridiculous. I thought, who's going to use this? It's got no information on it, you know. And there you go.
Well,
Here we are now.
just shows you
Well, if
want.
I look in my office and I look around and there's my dad's books and my godfather was a journalist at the Herald Sun, and when I explain to cadets or young people come and work with Landline, back in the day, if a journalist wanted to know a fact, they had to look it up in a book.
God.
And
If you're really lucky, you had the Encyclopedia Britannica or something like that in your house, right?
yeah.
And
Who's the
then you have to
third
get
Prime Minister of Australia? Well, the kids go, no, we had to actually get up and go and find a book. And if you didn't have it in your house, you had to go to the
No,
library.
or the library, or if you're really fortunate, then you'd get the annual update. There'd be another book that would come every year with updated information, so that you'd have to check the old encyclopedia, then the new ones.
I get what you're trying to say, but according to social media, the media doesn't have facts anymore. It's all just made up propaganda. So, but tell me, what has been the biggest change then in terms of media and reporting?
Oh, look, having access to the internet to be able to range widely has been incredible. But like when I first started at Landline, if I wanted, say, a report into an issue, I would ring somebody up and I'd probably have to pay for it and it would come in the mail. And because you couldn't fax a 200-page report, so access to information and quality information. I mean, there's all this stuff about, where do you go and find facts in the media and blah, blah, blah. Like the facts are there. For the journalism I do, the facts are easy to find. And if you've got good contacts, you can ring and say, hey, what do you reckon about this? And once you've got the good contacts, they can say, well, look, there's actually somebody else who could help you with that. But being able to phone farmers, that to me was a huge, I still remember how excited I was when I called a farmer and he was in the harvester and we talked on the phone. Because I used to come into work early. I had two phones. There was a black phone and a red phone. The red phone was only ever for
Or was
incoming
for
calls.
Moscow?
I don't know why it was red. I don't know what that office was used for before I got it in Melbourne. And so I'd call farmers, catch them at breakfast, catch them at lunch, and then hope that they wouldn't be pissed off because they were halfway through their lunch or listening to the country hour. And then I would catch them in the evening. And so I never made an outgoing call on the red phone. So mobile phones that's changed my life. And being able to research stuff on the internet and find reports and find different people to interview has changed my life as well.
Are there too many people now that are just getting their information from things like social media and I guess unverified sources, and they kind of take whatever they're seeing on Facebook or TikTok or
As
whatever
gospel.
particular, as that, this is and is that becoming more problematic too with the rise of AI? I guess that you can now have things that it's hard to tell what picture is a real picture, what's not, what kind of voice recording's real, what isn't. Is that becoming problematic, do you think?
I think when you've got really sort of contested issues, say, look at cotton and its use of water, the number of people I've had to explain to that. If they don't get their water allocation for that year, they can't grow a crop. But if you're growing tree crops further down the basin, they can't let those trees die. So they are in the market paying the high prices. And the cotton growers take the water and they could grow all sorts of things, but they choose to grow cotton because that's the highest
Nice value.
value. And when they say it's thirsty, we'll have a, and then people aren't aware of the all the different, I suppose, improvements in either the varieties or how they farm it, grow it. that the water use has dropped. Same with the rice industry. When I first started, criticised for being a thirsty crop. Then the industry came up with rules. You can't grow rice on these types of soils. So people can take one little factoid and it can be abused by the people who are in that contested space. And but unfortunately, bad or twisted information or old information has a very long half-life.
Do you know a statement I've heard a lot recently from a lot of people? They don't read the articles anymore. They read the comments on the articles more than the articles themselves. So they'll say the one sent, and I've heard this from a dozen people in the last year, which I thought was interesting. They'll read on an Instagram or whatever else, they'll see the title, and then they'll go in and read the comments on the article and go through and read hundreds of comments, but not the actual article itself. It's almost like people don't have the t attention span anymore to read a 1 minute article. They just want to read the soundbite comments or other people's interpretations of the articles,
Well,
which is really cool.
the article tells you it's a 3 minute read before you even click on it. So to try and, I guess, encourage you to show you it's not won't take too much of your time to have a
Yes.
look at this quick article.
Okay, the world, we've never had access like to information like we've had now. So if you are interested in finding out is should we be growing cotton or rice and, or what about the weed killer Roundup? You can interview scientists who say it's perfectly safe and then go on to
Ah,
say Facebook
but they would say that, wouldn't they?
and no,
And
it's not
that's the problem you got.
that. So it's about finding the right scientists, the people who aren't that haven't been captured by a particular organization. And it's like this the chance to seek out information, it's never been easier, but a lot of people don't avail themselves of that. And the thing that I see on social media, which is why I said it, problematic, because while I love Twitter, I just and I have it set so if somebody's boring or I don't like them, I unfollow them. It's like having a newspaper made just
Matt,
for
that's why Pip
me.
doesn't follow you, Matt.
Yeah, and that's it. I actually pinged Pip this morning because in coming up to that idea about the rural city divide, there was a map that was put out just recently showing the half of the population in Australia lives in.
Oh,
It
I
just
saw
was a,
that. Yeah.
yeah. So, and it was quite a stark thing actually that half you look at where half the population is in Australia, and it's pretty much this, just in and around the main cities. And that was kind of suggesting that was the reason for why, and I think they also in the comments, Andrew, because I read the comments as well as the article, someone said that the population, 1% of them now is farmers. So that, that's kind of trying to point to this idea.
It won't even be 1%.
Yeah, it'd be probably less than that,
If
yeah.
it's 27 million, what's 60,000, 80,000? How many farms in
80,
Australia?
85,
It
I think it's
depends.
85 or something, 8,000.
Depends who you ask. It could be as
Yeah.
high as 150, but let's call it 90,000, 100,000. That's not
Who make a
1%.
living from solely from agriculture? I always think that's a good definition to
Which is
make.
it's probably 0.5% at most.
Yeah.
Well, although Andrew and I had a pig farm and we were farmers in that sense that we owned the farm. We weren't
We're
there doing a lot of the farming work.
retired now.
But that wasn't I mean, that was a source of income. It wasn't our main source of income. So.
Thank God it wasn't the main source of income. Otherwise, we'd be in negative numbers.
Because I think I don't think I ever answered this, the question about the city country divide. I do think it exists, but I think it, and I think it's really great when farmers are thinking about how can we narrow that gap. But I do think when they say, oh, we need new things, I think there's a lot of things that are already happening. Like 60% of people who watch our program are urban. Country Style magazine, how popular is that? How popular is, say, rural tourism where you're visiting wineries and how popular are farmers markets? It's pop or understanding of rural Australia is not driven by what is on the front page of every capital city newspaper. If ag isn't there, that doesn't mean people don't care. There are so many different ways city people access agriculture and can understand agriculture. And I think farmers work with what's already working. Farm tourism, like the stories we've done on Landline about the number of farms on the HiCamp website, which is providing camping sites on working farms, it's gone gangbusters. I spoke to one farmer who said he had 800 people wanting to come and camp on his property in southern Queensland
At the same
in
time,
last Easter.
on the same weekend.
Yep. And when they're there, they want to see the Angus calves. They want to go and collect the eggs. Now that man should what the PR value that the rest of agriculture is getting, the positive PR value, is enormous. And the repeat customers. So I would actually, I think sometimes that it is overblown. Politically, I think it's very important. But I think there's so much that's already working where city people are accessing
Like
and enjoying
bush diffs.
agriculture.
Yeah, or the music festivals on farm. That's what I thought. With that many 800 people at the farm all at once, it'd almost be like a, bush diff, we
I think
call
maybe bush diffs should be encouraged more.
People booking 2 years in advance, and so I do think it can be overhyped, but I also think it's very important that politically, agriculture is and farmers. I think some influencers from the US had a very they were at Beef Week about 4 Beef Weeks ago, and they said every farmer should try and do something every day or every week to have a positive impact or say something positive about agriculture to someone who might not understand. Don't leave it to Agforce. Don't leave it to the NFF. Don't leave it.
Do you mean as a social media type
Yeah.
post or something
Or
like
even
that?
just yarning to one of the mums at a footy match. Oh, you think blah. Well, did you know blah? Don't argue with them. It just, yeah. And they said it's in everybody's best interest. And if you leave it to the industry organisations, they were pretty tough. You deserve what you get. Wow, that's pretty severe. But
Given this is probably might be a hard question to answer, given the length of time you spent with
sounds
landlines,
hard for you to get it out, to be honest. But anyway, so.
I'm just trying to phrase it delicately. But I was going to say not necessarily what's been your favourite piece you've done or you've seen in terms of a reporting piece, maybe not your
Most
favourite.
memorable.
What's been the most interesting or the most memorable? Does one particular story stand out to you that was just one that always comes back to mind? Like I know Warwick Long's one was the pigeon milk one, of course, that he did at Abes a few years
Which
back, Andrew.
we organised for him and we gave him the
Yep.
talent for.
That was one of the stories of the year. Probably why he won King of Rural Reporting for 2024, I suspect. But do you have an equivalent pigeon milk type story of one that just stands in your mind, and sticks there, lasts through the years?
Look, I've been asked that question quite a lot, and so I am on the record as saying that my story on Lanark in Western Victoria was just one of the most mind-blowing stories I've ever done, and I've been back 3 times in 29 years. The last one was 18 months ago, and that because when I started, I remember if ag was in the news for all the wrong reasons, and I don't know when you came to this country, Andrew, sorry, I should know, but
2010.
right,
I
okay.
think he's hoping that they'll eventually make it a national holiday, the day that he arrived in Australia, National Agricultural Day.
Oh, look,
But if you think
it's
about,
not a bad idea.
1993 when I started on with the show, with the Murray-Darling Basin had that blue-green algae bloom. We had dust storms coming in from the centre, covering capital cities on the east coast with dust. Zero till hadn't really come in, and environmentalists were actually asking the question: should Western New South Wales be defarmed and just turned into a big national park?
But to be honest, at that point, that probably was
Oh,
with until
there
the
was.
technology came around, it maybe
Yep,
should have been.
Landcare was just getting going, but you weren't really seeing any results. You had erosion, land erosion, water erosion. Like agriculture was sick. And so over the years to watch Landcare come in and to be old enough to go back 10 years after we filmed some seedlings being planted and to see how quickly the environment can bounce back and to go and see what happens when you fence off creeks and you get rid of willows and to go to Lanark and to see a man who predated Landcare by 50 years and just and I'm like most girls, I love a good romance and this beautiful man John Fenton who sadly died a couple of years ago on I'm always very thankful that I got to meet him and spend time with him twice. And when he asked his future father-in-law for his daughter's hand in marriage, his future father-in-law said, "You've got six or seven Menke pine trees around the house, and the rest of your property in the Western Districts of Victoria, it looks like Mars. I want my daughter to hear bird song. And you can, if you plant trees, I'll let you marry my daughter."
I'm pretty sure is it David Fenton? Because I thought I saw David Fenton. He was he the
The
son
sun,
then? Yeah, because I think I saw him speak years ago at a conference in Victoria. Might have been at a Best Wool, Best Lamb conference, and he spoke about what they'd done there over the years on farm with all that
extraordinary.
regenerative work. Yeah, no, it's a really commendable effort they've
And we
done
had the
there.
photos of the before and
Yeah.
after, so we were able to, like, in the old days, hold that photo in front of the camera, and then I would move it, and it was like an English park. And I still, the three camera crews that have worked on that story, whenever we run across each other, that's what we start talking about. But John was wildly eccentric, and he left other parts of the farm. He wasn't concentrating, which meant that he and his son David clashed. We actually filmed them having a Barney in a forestry plot. So you could see how the eccentrics make stuff happen. They shift the dial. But he wasn't appreciated in his local community. And after the story went to air, he was asked by universities to come and speak. Could people come and visit? And he wasn't really a prophet in his own land, but after Landline profiled him, he got a book deal. Then I went back, well, 13 years later, and David was starting to take over to see what it was, and then what he did, and that he would plant oaks for his great 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 grandchildren that he would never know to harvest and sell. He's one of the most inspiring farmers I've ever met. And I do love doing those stories about bringing a farm back to life, and the so farmers in the New England who dieback had just smashed the tree cover percentage of tree cover, and to have a wife say, "My husband, whenever I can't find him, I know he's out in the trees." Those looking at the trees that he planted as little seedlings, and he's sitting there, just marveling in what nature has done, and how he has a much nicer office, and that he helped his dad ring bark the trees, and now he's planting the trees. So, those stories really inspire me, because a lot of people would say, "Why would I bother? It's going to be 20 years before there's a result." But these people who bother and just give it the time and play the long game, and they win.
It reminds me a bit of the work that Fiona Conroy and her partner have done on their property as well. Because we had Fiona was on the podcast a little while back after we saw her speak in Canberra. Was that ABARES, Andrew? Was it or
ABARES last
NFF
year.
conference? Yeah.
ABARES
Yeah.
last year.
Yeah.
Because of that, I've interviewed her for a story I've got coming up. So I spent time with them
Oh, just
at the end
recently.
of last year.
Oh, yeah. Okay. No, we did a
Well,
podcast with her last year.
we had them on first.
Yes, I
So.
know. But I got to, thanks for doing my research, I just listened to the podcast, and they're amazing. But they are serious, proper farmers trying to make a living, and what they're doing is just incredible. And I had a cameraman from that for that shoot who'd never done anything quite like it, and all the way back to Melbourne, he just
So
talked
the
about them. And you
so
know
what I
when you've got it, because the cameraman had been everywhere. They're hard to impress. If they're still talking about the story an hour after you've left, you know that you've got something, you've got gold in the can.
So that's a mental note, Andrew, for us to send some invoices through for our research work. The AgWatchers Research Division for ABC Rural. Pigeon milk stories with Fiona Conroy.
You've seen our currency, haven't you? It's very similar to monopoly money.
Well,
Who
you
about as
guys,
useful?
that's what I was going to ask you about funding. Yeah. There was money came. Maybe a 2 years ago to various media organizations because of the Meta, Facebook, somehow or other. I didn't really understand it at the time, but that's going now, isn't it? So is that going to be a
So they
challenge?
say, I suppose we're all waiting for somebody to say Mr. Zuckerberg has been convinced to backtrack his comments, but yeah, it's going to have a big impact on regional and rural journalism in Australia, and not just with the ABC, because we were able to put on a lot of extra staff out in the bush. So let's hope that somebody can be very convincing, and show him what the good that that money has done, and not just for the ABC.
To convince Zuckerberg.
Yeah. Is it?
Maybe you can like go back to like a previous version of his software or something, or put control alt delete on him or something. So
Well,
is
one of
it
my favorite cartoons is one of those, I think it's South Park characters. He's being thrown through a window, and the underneath it says, "My abductor's returning me 10 hours after my abduction because I wouldn't stop talking about my cats." And I have a lot of people who send me that, and I just think I should be sent over to Zuckerberg, and I will just sit there and talk to him about my favorite topic apart from Burmese cats and show jumping, which is agriculture and reporting on rural things. And maybe he'll just chuck me through a window, call David Anderson and say, "You can have your money back, but will you just get this chick off my back," talking about how important agriculture and rural reporting is.
Well, we're
if
just
you meet
we just went to get, we never actually received our check from Facebook for this podcast, but
No.
I'm guessing it's been lost in the post somewhere.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly. But I mean, if you're wanting someone else to go to tag team you talking about cats, you could take Gillian Fennell. She's always got something to say about cats on social media.
Worst comes to worst, you can take Matt with his banjo and get him to play for 2.5 minutes.
Mate, that's why yeah,
Yeah.
you'd be guaranteed funding for everything.
Well, I'll
It's like
take the king and queen with me.
make it stop. Yeah, that's it, the
Yeah.
king and queen. Surely that could be influential. They'll
Cat
be
will make
asking
him
for it.
laugh. She'll charm him, and yeah, we'll play some akadaka and come on, Mr. Zuckerberg. It's not going to hurt you that much.
Is there an
Thanks. I'll
actual
agree.
have they determined when it's going to stop? They're just saying it, that's it.
I
Have they
don't
got a
know.
date? No.
No.
Hmm.
But yeah, no. Send me over. I'll see what I can do. But I don't want to take the king and queen with me.
Crazy little trip to Seattle. Righto. What else we got to cover, Matt?
I don't know. I think we've I'm mildly exhausted. How long did Pip afford it? So I thought today's a busy day, isn't it? Is today one of your
Oh,
what do you is
the show
it
gets put
editing
to bed
the
on Fridays. Yes.
Yeah, that's it. So I
So
would
it's all tucked up nicely. It's all been done very quickly today. So we're just waiting for Matt to
Matt
file his report.
Matt Brand to do his
Matt
well, and
never
again he
invites me
hasn't
on.
used it. He never he's never
He's up at
he's
the
it.
NTCA conference,
There he
and
is. Yeah.
I've been to that conference once. They party hard, so I think I said to the boss, I think we need a 3-minute standby package in case Matt's been disabled by those hard partying
What we
big
I'll
boys and
tell you what
girls.
we could do is we can take a clip off of this and you can just put this on.
Yep, that's it.
My last thing was, right, if you were campaigning for Landline, let's you're campaigning for the president of Landline,
Queen.
queen of Landline, what would be your pitch for farmers to listen to watch Landline? Why should farmers support Landline?
We're the only program about your industry and where you live, on Australian television. There's always something to learn. Like, I look at my stories and I want each one to be a template for success. So whether you're a pigeon farmer or an alpaca farmer or a citrus producer or a wool grower, any story we do about a successful operation, there will be a takeaway. And I even had a guy who was a car repair dude who had a business in Sydney. And he sent me a letter many years ago saying, "I've learned so many business lessons from watching Landline." But I would say our brief is to find the best farmers in Australia and tell their stories, what they do, how they got there, if they fell over, how they got back up again and kept going. I would just say, you must run a good operation if you think you've got nothing to learn by turning on Landline on Sunday.
I wonder when you said that about when you say about how it's the only one in Australia that does that kind of stuff. I was just thinking, are there any other equivalents overseas? Like Andrew, do you
Countryfile.
know Countryfile in the UK? Yeah, so that's one that
Did you
is
watch?
that would be.
Actually, Matt, there's another complete different tangent. You never actually
Yeah.
responded to me. I sent you a link to a program in SBS last week,
What one?
Rivers of Scotland.
I didn't see it. No, that was in your town, but I haven't looked at it yet. Can you
So
resend it?
I'll resend it, but you can just look
Yeah.
online.
Yeah.
But it was a good program. It's
There's
like
one in
back,
New Zealand.
but
What's.
they just walked down from the top of the river to the bottom of the river in all the towns. And so it was
Oh, right.
down the River Nith, and it's stopped in Dumfries and talked about my hometown.
There was one a while ago that the guys from the DGEN, Tom Gleisner, did a thing, and I think Santo Chilara or something, where they used to go and fish
Rivers,
in all
yeah.
of it. Yeah. What you were going to say, there was one in New Zealand, Pip, as
Yeah, there's
well. It's
a
just.
show in New Zealand, and their format is one issue per show,
Okay.
right.
and that's quite sort of an in-depth one. But Landline also gets aired in New Zealand as well. So I would just say, look, if your farm is so good that you don't need to learn anything from the people that we're finding, don't watch. That's probably a bit rude, isn't it? But no, I just think there's always somebody to learn from, someone to be inspired by, some countryside that you will probably never see under your own steam, but will take you there and will surprise you, I think, and move you. And it's just a great hour of innovation and inspiration and occasional laughs.
I
There you
look. I
go.
look when you mentioned you get the top farmers in Australia on a program. I'm waiting for the segment, the top
The top
analysts,
rural podcasters.
top
Oh,
rural
the poor, yeah,
podcast,
no podcast, yeah, all
top
analysts.
or market
Either, we'll take
analysts.
either.
We'll take
We'll
either.
take either. Yeah.
We might not. We might not even get to the top, to be honest.
No. Well, you could win the top Scottish Australian podcaster in agricultural setting.
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
show me my competitor.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's
And
so exciting to see so much happening in social media and in podcasts. And if you've got an interest, there's always something there. We had a story last year on the social media influencers in ag, and
oh.
boy, they were kicking some goals. Even if it's that guy who wanders around looking for his alpaca called Patrick,
I don't
it
remember.
makes people laugh.
I don't remember being in that one, but
We must have been out of the country.
we must have been too busy.
I think your agent said we couldn't afford you.
Probably. You're thinking the Batuta Advocate voice. They're multiple expensive.
Actually, before we leave, I just had one thing to ask Pip.
Oh, okay.
It was just before we actually recorded, you said, what happens if I can't understand you?
I did have a bit of trouble
And
on
your
the
accent.
phone.
And how has it been? Because I did
It's
turn the
been very
sub.
good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I
But
was.
it's part lip reading. So if I can see you, it helps. But on the phone, I must admit, it was a bit sh like Shakespeare. I understood every third word. Yeah.
So basically, Pip has just said I'm like one
But
of
it's very
the most famous
sexy.
bards.
It's a very sexy accent. So
Oh, there you go.
don't know that you're
That's what
leveraging
he.
it to
That's
the
what he was.
extent you
That's
could
what he
be.
was fishing. That's what he was fishing for, Pip. That's now he's going to turn the. Now he's going to turn the dial up on the
There's
roll
your
to ask.
promo.
Jeez, I'm
Yeah.
blushing now. Jeez.
Yeah, I've just got a list of words here I'd like you to say. I'll just record it and
Oh yeah.
carry
Let's go.
on. Oh,
Let's go. Do you? At least you haven't mentioned Outlander yet.
oh.
I could start doing some of my Burns poetry, but the book's in my bedroom.
Have you told Pip about
My
your
love is
only.
like a red rose that's
Oh
newly
my God,
sprung
stop.
in June.
I'm blushing.
What about your Andrew's
You're
got out?
blushing, Matt. You're going a bit pink.
Oh no,
Are you
well,
all right
it's
there?
very exciting.
Imagine being like Matt, he's got to work with me and
I know.
he's
He's
always in
the
a hot flush.
star actor of
It's hard. It's
Outlander.
hard
Is he
work.
your brother, Andrew? Is the star actor in Outlander?
He comes from the same hometown as me.
Same
Oh.
hometown. They might be related.
Might be related.
Pip's not probably aware. Pip's not probably aware of your OnlyFans account, Andrew. Only
Shh.
grains.
No, because that's not getting launched for another week.
Oh, isn't it? Okay, righty, okay.
Can't
Righty.
afford it.
Oh well.
I can't afford you.
It's a scoop. Only grains, where Andrew talks in his
Only
strongest accent
grains.
about grains markets while wearing a kilt.
Look, it's tough these days to
You
be an
could just
analyst.
read whatever the textbook is for agriculture year one, just read that in a Scottish accent. I might pay $5 a week to hear that.
It's a good idea. Look,
Oh, there you go. I'm going to lose him. I'm going to
watch
lose
this
him to his
space.
OnlyFans.
Right.
That'd
Oh.
be it.
How did we end up there? That was not on my bingo card for this chat.
No. It always, it usually, the sign when it's time to stop the podcast is when it deteriorates into silliness
Getting a
like
bit
this.
blue.
Yeah. And I've lost him now. Episode 3 will be up for sale shortly because one of the partners will be off recording his Scottish only grains stuff. That'll be the end of it.
Well, it's either that or my secondary business that we've spoken about many times.
Oh, yes. Marriage celebrant.
Marriage celebrant. Outlander Weddings.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So that's the next one. Once I do the training course, because it is a 24-week training course to become a celebrant, apparently.
Then the bride-to-be is going to just hear your accent and not want to marry her husband.
I'm more worried about the bridesmaids than the bride. Anyway, it is descending now.
It's Friday afternoon.
Okay, there we go. Well, thanks for your time, Pip. It's been interesting. Someone that's been involved in that agricultural space reporting for so long, it's always good to have a perspective like that. So I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you. I'm very, very lucky to do this job, and I'm very lucky to have such a wonderful audience. I love it when someone rings up and says, you know how we were on the show 2 weeks ago, our website crashed, we've had to hire more people, our audience, when they see something on our program and they want to support somebody who's got a great idea or a family having a crack, you know, they back them, they get online, and support them. So I love our audience, and I love the farmers that I'm privileged to go on their properties and spend time with them. And I just love this job. Yeah, I'm very lucky.
And now you've made it to the big time and come on the Ag Watchers podcast.
Yes. And I finished up all hot and bothered because you've got a Scottish accent.
There you go.
We can but dream. It's a lesson for any of the cadets that you're teaching in the future. You can say, look, one day you might also be on the Ag Watchers podcast.
Oh, now, when they come into the office and one of my colleagues says, do you know how old Pip is? And do you know when she started on this show? Were you born on this show? And then this look comes over their face where they go, oh, I wasn't even born. And then they do the maths. And some of them, I think, we're getting to the stage, my parents weren't even born. So,
but now they know, if they listen to this, they know you started when you were 15. So they'll be able to quickly figure it out.
Righto. Right.
We'll call it a day. Thanks for coming on, Pip. We'll see you when you got nothing on.
Ciao for now.
Thank you. Bye.